This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood, where you can get a 2020 Corolla LE, lease it for $159 a month, sign and drive, get on down to 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, Toyota of Hollywood.
I promised you we're going to talk a little NBA right now with Kurt Helin from Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk like I and so many others. Kurt, how you doing, my man? You hanging in there? You COVID-free?
I am. How's it doing, buddy? Yeah, we're doing all right.
All right. I like to hear that, man. All right. So the play-in tournament is... It seems like this is not etched in stone yet, right? This is something that's still being discussed. And if it is being discussed, what's the other option?
Well, technically, I should probably start by saying everything's on the table, including like playing some regular season games. That seems highly unlikely. I just don't think they're bringing 30 teams to Orlando. They're just increasing the risk for not enough reward. A play-in tournament's possible, and it's funny. Everything's on the table. I don't even know that they're going to make a decision on Friday when Adam Silver talks to the owners in a big call. But it's right now, everybody's lobbying for the thing that helps them the most. So it's like certain teams, the Lakers are looking at one through six. You know, hey, if we go 1 through 16 and just go straight to the playoffs, that sets up a lot better for us. Where other teams are like, hey, we should bring in 20 teams and do a World Cup style group stage first round, and Damian Lillard's out there lobbying like, hey man, I'm not going to, if you bring me in and I'm playing meaningless games, I'm just not going to play. I'll sit on the bench, but if you give me something to play for, I'll be out there. You know, he's trying to lobby that they get into a play-in opportunity. It's nuts. There might be a play-in tournament and there might not. I mean, they're kind of pushing on this both ways. My guess is they might bring in a couple extra teams from each conference, but that's the most. I don't think they're going beyond like 10 in the standings, but we'll see, man. Like everybody's lobbying for everything right now. And Adam Silver's just trying to find a consensus. Good luck with that.
You know, the Dane Lillard stuff kind of pisses me off because I treat them just like the Panthers here locally for us. Hey, the Panthers are on the outside looking in. And the NHL wants to just put the top 16 teams and the Panthers want to complain, that's your problem, dude. You're the one that didn't put yourself in a position to be in the playoffs. And I find it incredibly selfish from Dane Lillard that he's doing that now when everybody has to play under the same rules, whatever rules it is, whatever the NBA and the NBAPA have agreed on, well, then – just go by it, dude. And if you wanted to be in the playoff race, well, then you should have put yourself in the top eight. You shouldn't have choked last year in the playoffs when they didn't have a good outing in the playoffs. I mean, to me, Lillard has nothing to blame but himself, and now you're using the league as a crutch and an excuse? That's cheap, dude.
Yeah, by the way, you know who you're chasing for that eight seed? The Memphis Grizzlies, a team led by, I mean, look, Ja Morant's special, but guy's a rookie. Like, you know, you got a rookie point guard league. Like, your team did not play well enough to get past a team led by a rookie point guard. So, you know, the blame falls on you if you're not happy with the straight 16 thing. But there are a lot of – look, he speaks for a lot of guys, not just star guys, but a lot of guys who are like, hey, I'll do what you – you know, look, I'll play, but you got to give me something to play for. If you send me for meaningless games, I don't want to do it. And it's not just him. I mean, look, if you're the Golden State Warriors, am I playing Steph Curry? Like, what's the point of playing Steph Curry in some meaningless games? Minnesota Timberwolves, hey, Carl Anthony Towns, I know your mom just died of COVID, but you mind playing a couple meaningless games in Orlando?
Well, that's different there, Kurt.
That stuff I don't get.
That one I understand saying those right there, because, I mean, the Golden State season is over, and I would not risk. Right. I mean, Steph is coming back from an injury. Why the hell would I put him out there anymore at this point?
Exactly.
Save him for next year. But Lillard, hey, man, if they do play five games only and you're 3.5 out, mathematically you do have some kind of a shot. So professionally, why don't you go out there and try at least? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all. And heck, seeding might change for people, one seed or two, if you do play a couple of regular season games.
he's just really lobbying for his case, which is he wants them in a play-in tournament. And it'd be interesting to see how they would handle the West, because you've essentially got a four-team tie, like 3.5 games back. But, like, you've got four teams bunched up behind them, in of which, you know, New Orleans and Zion, who everybody wants to see, is one of them, and obviously Lillard. But the Spurs are in there and the Kings are in there. How are you going to break that up? How are you going to, like, where are you drawing that line? If you mean, it's why I think ultimately they'll just go with the 16. It's just my guess. And they want more games. There's a lot of energy other directions, but I think at the end of the day, they're just going to bring in 16 and keep the bubble as small as they can.
Yeah. I love your thinking along those lines that, you know, the 16 limited, you'll go to 2024. You're just increasing your chances to, you know, bring in COVID and set everything back. Well, and, I think it makes so much sense.
What happens, you know, they're talking about this group stage thing where the first, you know, you'd be four groups of five in the first round. And it'd be like, you know, the soccer World Cup where everybody plays everybody a couple of times and the winners, you know, the top two advance. You know, what happens if just something simple, like LeBron James sprains an ankle? Lakers are done. Like, is that, I mean, where are you? I guess that could happen. You know, that could happen in the playoffs regardless.
Right.
But man, are you really going to roll that? Or are you just going to bring in the 16? I don't get the reward of messing this up. And the other thing I hear from some people, which is some people are really bothered by the asterisk talk, which is kind of exist anyway. But if that really bothers you, then you've got to keep it as traditional as you can. The crazier you get, the more you bring that discussion in.
Yeah. Now, I'm not bothered by the, the Spurs have won 5 titles. I don't go 4.5, dude. Oh, because season they played, 55, 60? Give me a break. Everybody played the same thing. Come on.
Do we not count the Yankees titles during World War II, or do we count those?
Yeah. No. I mean, of course.
I don't think anybody looks back and said, nah, you know, World War II, they couldn't beat Cleveland. No, right. Man. It is.
Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls, not 2 Super Bowls and 1 in a strike, altered season. No, dude. No, he won 3 Super Bowls. That's the way it goes. Now, where do you stand? Do we go conferences, doggy, or do we go all 16 teams? Because I'm kind of with people that say, you know what? This is maybe the year you do experiment. And selfishly, and I know, hell, you're going to love it, dude, because it's in your backyard. But selfishly, if we really look at it objectively, hell, we might end up with a Clippers-Lakers NBA Finals, which doesn't allow them to travel COVID-free. They're all in the same arena every single night. And as an NBA fan, we get the 2 best teams in the NBA Finals. So you tell me, do we go all 16 or do we go 2 conferences?
There's a real push for a straight 16. This is the one year, like you said, to do it. The pushback, weirdly, has come from some Eastern Conference owners who are concerned that once you open the door, you can't shut it. You know,
right,
like,
right.
They don't really like the idea in general. But although I will say this, it's
baseball players in the cap right now that the owner snuck on them. Oh, whoa, no. We want no cap right now, dude. Don't ever even introduce that here. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
So it's that, you know, if you bring it in. The other, I will say this too. It's not just Eastern Conference. In this case, it's Eastern Conference owners, but the other people, it's coastal teams that don't like it. It's, hey, man, let's be honest. If you're Miami, you really don't want to get a 1-16 first round matchup against Phoenix or Golden State and wherever, regardless of where the teams are, like, quality wise at any given point. Once you start flying across the country like that, man, you're just adding a lot of travel and a lot of miles that they don't want. Like, those teams don't want to go that far if they don't have to. So that pushback is still there, but I still think this is the year to do it.
But Kurt, won't we be bubbling anyways? Or are we actually going to be
this year? They're just worried about it becoming a thing.
Oh, I see.
But I'm with you. To me, this is the year to do it. By the way, if you do it that way, so sets up for the Lakers. It really, they get the side of the bracket where, unless you really genuinely think Denver, Utah, or Toronto or somebody's a huge threat, the teams that genuinely scare you are all on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I thought about this too. LeBron had the year off last year with the injury. He had rest. Yep. He didn't have the postseason. He came out like a bandit, dude. He was tearing it up. And then, you could see that maybe they were maybe tiring out a little bit now down the stretch. Now he gets these 2-3 months off. This I think this break has been a huge benefit for the Lakers. I still think the Clippers are the better team, but the freshness factor for LeBron now to recharge for 3 months for this run, LeBron's going to be a maniac in this one because, as you and I know, the clock is ticking. He's pulling the my cousin Vinny, my clock is ticking and stomping on the thing because he knows he's only got a couple seasons with the Lakers, so he's got to take advantage right here.
Right, and this team is poised to do it. And look, you can argue that they'd bring everybody back next year, but you never know what's going to happen, right? Like, LeBron's 35 going on 36 next season. Anthony Davis has an injury history. That's an older team. A million things can change. Things can change, and you've got to take advantage of the opportunities you've got. They absolutely have one this year. I think it's going to be fascinating, by the way, like the return. I think teams, the Lakers could benefit, you know? James Harden looked worn out near the end. Like, you were getting a lot more Russell Westbrook, but Harden had carried a huge load. He was getting double teamed the second he stepped over half court.
Small lineup.
They were throwing all this stuff at him. He's refreshed, man.
Small lineup.
He's refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, it's going to be really interesting to see if, you know, A, who kept themselves in shape and who came back a little, you know, 10 pounds heavier, but also who, you know, how much did this really help the veteran teams, or does it? Or is this something that's going to benefit younger legs? There's no way to, you know, this is unprecedented and we don't know. I kind of think it helps veteran teams, but the only way to find out is to start playing the games, man.
Kurt, do you expect fans to get back to this next year? Do you think the NBA will be fine by then and everything will end up working out?
At some point during the year, yes. It's going to get interesting, and it's going to depend on market. And I think that the NBA is not the only team, you know, sports league dealing with this. College football certainly is. Look, they're not going to start till December. It's going to be either a Christmas start or close to Christmas start, in part because they will get more games with people in arenas, even if they can't do it in December, even if you can't load up the arenas in December. But it might be different. What's going on in Florida and the state of where the disease is in Florida or Atlanta with Georgia might be very different than New York or Los Angeles, might be very different from Phoenix, and, you know, run through your teams. How are they going to do it if the Lakers and Clippers can't open Staples Center, but, you know, the Heat can open? And I mean, how are they dividing the revenue on that? How are they going to handle that? Do they play some games on neutral sites where they can put? It's going to be interesting to see how they handle this rolling thing. But their hope is, by starting in December, and that there being a vaccine, you know, knock on wood for the entire nation, that comes as quickly as possible and gets distributed, that they'll get more games with people in the arena.
Yeah.
That even if they don't at the start, they get more games if they start late.
And Kurt, you made another fantastic point that I didn't think about. You've lost so much this year without fans in the building for the regular season, and now you won't have the fans in the building for the playoffs, which is where huge money can be made. And if you start like normal, the NBA season, you won't be able to start with fans. But if you buy yourself some time and start in late December, January, maybe you're getting closer to where we could get to a vaccine, and you can actually have a regular season with fans, and you can get that revenue back. Because you're losing so much. Yeah, that's a great point, dude. The more you drag
you're getting closer to by January, February, March, knock on wood, we're a lot closer to normal, or, you know, the new normal or whatever it's going to be. I don't think everything's bouncing back instantly, but you can start putting fans in arenas again. And that's the hope. Like, you don't have that, you know, that the distribution and the vaccines to able to be completed and distributed quickly enough that you get a lot more games. You get a lot more games with fans in seats.
All right. So Kurt Helin, of course, from Pro Basketball Talk. Kurt, let's wrap it up with this. Last Dance. So everything that ends up happening now, how does Michael look in your eyes? How does Scotty look in your eyes? When we and the Isaiah situation, to me, because I lived all of this. So to me, I actually, none of this changed to me because I always looked at Scotty. Hey, dude, you walked out on your team that day. You know, the coach made the right call. Kukoc was better suited for that play, and you weren't the bigger man at that moment. So that's always going to be held against you. And as for Isaiah, I watched his whole career from Indiana all the way through the NBA. He was a dirty player, dude. He took all kinds of cheap shots, and he kind of earned that label from not just Jordan, from all kinds of people. And the fact that Jordan was kind of a G, well, I kind of knew that already. To yeah. me, I don't think anything changed for me, but I'm wondering for you, did anything change in the way you viewed these guys?
No, I don't think it was a fun trip down memory lane because there's stuff I'm like, oh, that's right. Dennis Rodman took off in the middle of the finals with WWE event. It's just, you know, some of the stuff that I just hadn't really thought about in a long time, but nothing changed. There was nothing groundbreaking. There was nothing in the sense of like, we hadn't heard that before. There was great. I loved the video footage we hadn't seen before,
yes.
But it reinforced, hey, Jordan likes to gamble a lot. He's really competitive. Well, yeah, we kind of knew that.
Right.
Like, all that stuff wasn't new. I think it was interesting for people under 30 who didn't live it, who you know, knew Jordan through, you know,
commercials and YouTube
whatever. Clips.
Yeah.
So this was a better introduction to him. And I think that stuff was interesting to see how people reacted to him now, you know, on that stuff. It got, you know, look, the Jordan hype got a little crazy when their ESPN's running a poll and people are like, yeah, Jordan was a better passer than LeBron. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Like, we can debate who's the better player if you want, but like, he wasn't a better passer. Flat out was not. So it kind of certainly, I think, bolstered Jordan's reputation, but I don't think it changed anything for me. Like you said, I lived it. I was a fan back then. I was watching the games. There was nothing to me that changed. Maybe Scottie Pippen comes up. You mentioned it, like the downsides of him, but I think sometimes Scottie also got locked into the, dude, what was he that good, man? He was just a Robin where, you know, like he was all Jordan. You got to be reminded, you know, some people needed to be reminded. Scottie Pippen was a really great basketball player. Right?
Awesome.
Like, Scottie Pippen was like, it wasn't an accident that Jordan needed him. So like, some guys came out as winners on that, but I'm not, you know, but Scottie's got a mixed legacy as well.
Yeah. Listen, in the end, all three of those guys were mismatches. Rodman was a mismatch. There was no way you could ever match Rodman because there's only been one Rodman in the history of the entire NBA. We've never seen another guy before him or after that's like him. And Scottie, you know, the way he developed under Michael, he developed into such a unique player because he was so good defensively, and then he was so good as a facilitator, and then he became a better shooter and a better scorer and all those things. And then, obviously, Michael was the ultimate, you know, guy that you could not match up with. That's the one thing about the Bulls that I don't think they get enough credit for, how freakish those three guys were in their own right and what they became.
And what a great defensive team they were, particularly for that era where it was, you know, people forget it was man-to-man. Guys kind of snuck zones in there and stuff, but it was a man-to-man league, and it was a lot more isolation basketball. And Pippen, Rodman and Jordan were also long, also athletic, also smart defensively. Nobody else had that combo. Nobody else could roll out that kind of defense. It was great.
The one thing, and again, it doesn't change anything for me on Scottie, but I just wish he wouldn't have said, I would do it all over again. It's like, come on, Scottie, dude, you can't say that. And there's no way he can mean that. You can't be still butthurt to this day about the Kukoc shot, when if you're objective, the play they called, the coach called the best player, just like John Paxson or Steve Kerr was, for a specific shot that Michael passed them to because they were better shooters than Michael. So, of course, in that play, you would set it up for John Paxson or for Steve Kerr. It's the same thing with Kukoc. That turnaround jumper, that was not Scottie's game. Scottie was not the guy that was flying around picks and shooting balls. He was more of a set shooter type that you would pass it to him when he's open and he would take the shot and he was pretty good. But that wasn't Scottie was never the guy that was going to fly around, you know, what's it called, the picks and shoot yeah. right away. That's not his game. Never was.
No, and he was a decoy that game. I think he expected to get the last shot, but he couldn't. I mean, I don't want to say he couldn't create his own shot, but he couldn't create his own shot like Michael. And again, Michael had the wisdom, like you said, he could create his own shot. But when the defense truly collapsed on him, he's like, oh, hey, Paxson, hey, Kerr,
right?
Here's the rock, you know, like he would give it up in the biggest moments if the shot didn't, you know, if the shot didn't create itself or if he couldn't push off on the Byron Russell and get it.
Right, exactly. And again, you're passing it to people that you know, easily yep. Steve Kerr and Paxson and even Hodges yeah. before those guys, because they didn't win any championship with Hodges, but Hodges kind of played that same role for those guys did, but before yep. the championship years, you know? That's the only thing I wish he wouldn't have said. I would do it all over again. That's a shame. By the way, how are you How's NBC Sports going to cover it? How are you doing it, my man? You doing it virtually, or are you gonna hit the road?
We'll see. I'm right in the, you know, I've been home for a while. I mean, I've largely worked from home anyway and travel yeah. a little bit to games and stuff. And it's, you know, look, I'm Los Angeles based, so I have the advantage of A, they're both big stories this year, but B, every team's got to come here twice, so I don't have to travel as much as a lot of guys. I don't know what's going to happen with Orlando, and I don't know what's going to happen with Orlando and media. So I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah,
I don't know. My broadcast partners will be in there, but I'm not sure how the rest of it works yet, because like everything else, that's up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. They may limit it. They may make the decision for you. Actually,
they may, and the timing of it is it. You know, my wife's a teacher. I got kids in school. If this bleeds into September, scheduling becomes more of an issue on my end. So there's just stuff we'll have to figure out.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Catch his work there at NBC Sports. He is Kurt Helan. Kurt, you're a stud as always. You and the family stay safe, my friend. And enjoy the basketball. We might be getting it back, baby.
I would love to be talking about those. What do we used to call those things we watched? Games?
Games?
Yeah, those.
Yep, those
would be fun.
Those things. All right, baby. You be good. Take it easy. There you go. The great Kurt Helan, man. Love it. Love having him on, as always. It's fantastic to talk a little basketball with him. Speaking of basketball, did you see that Michael Jordan's game-worn jersey went up for auction, and it went for a record number, actually?
Is that a record number for basketball?
For Michael memorabilia on fire, game-worn uniform from his legendary 96-97 championship season, sold for $288,000, shattering the old record. This particular uniform, a jersey and shorts combo, was rocked by MJ on the 14th of April in 97 when Detroit dominated the Bulls in a 108-91 smackdown. Michael had an off night, dropping 18 points. He averaged almost 30 that season. But after the hype of The Last Dance, collectors paying top dollar for all things Jordan. The uniform hit the block at golden auction, starting off at $75,000. When the final gavel banged, the price was at $288,000. Ken Golden tells us the previous record for the most expensive MJ game-used threads are $173,000, Michael's 84 Team USA jersey. Which I would rather have that Team USA jersey's got to be worth more than 173 now. Like, it's got to be worth more than the 288 that guy just paid for that jersey.
Easily.
4 or 500,
that number,
right?
That number nine, easily.
Right.
I'll tell you, here, personal. Dave and Buster's crane grab. I grab a Michael Jordan number nine USA little doll.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, this was the last time he played basketball. He's retired.
Yeah.
This is going to be, right. And of course he comes back and yeah.
Right.
But I still have the Michael Jordan.
Golden Auction sold a LeBron game used jersey for $371,200. Okay. It was his rookie year. It was during his fifth and eighth games in the NBA. So that one was a little bit more precious, as like this one was an off night.
Well, look.
It's $288,000. It was
an off
night.
Can I tell you who had a good night that night? Oh. Joe Dumars.
Yeah, probably.
You know, yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but still, 288,000, that's a lot
for an
money,
off
man.
Night. For an off night, 18
that's
points.
That's a lot of money. Lot of money, man.
How would you feel about displaying that? Like, oh, this is Michael Jordan's brother, and it was an off night. He only scored 18 points.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You don't mention that, right?
Yeah. No. But, I mean, for the guy that bought it, it's still, you know.
It's a playoff.
Yeah.
And
it's a sweet one because it's the black one with the little red pinstripes. So it's a pretty cool looking jersey, you know?
Well, it was also used in probably one of the best rivalries.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Detroit Bulls, those years, man, bad blood. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So good stuff there. By whoever ends up with that one on their wall in their office, something along those lines. I got an interesting story about a Christian rock singer, and this is if you're really really religious, and you might be bothered by this, you really shouldn't because it's not really that big of a deal. But it's not normal that you would hear people publicly say things like this. Right. And I'm reading this. John Steingard, singer and guitarist for the Christian pop rock band Hawk Nelson. I know nothing about these guys at all. OK, so have no idea. But he says he has revoked his faith, declaring he no longer believes in God in a long winded statement on social media. Hawk Nelson formed the Ontario, Canada band in 2000. They've released 8 full-length albums. The latest was in 2018. He makes no illusions as to what this means for the band's future, despite a Facebook post indicating there was much more ahead. He goes, "I'm now finding out that I no longer believe in God." This is a guy that leads a Christian rock group. "The process of getting to that sentence has been several years in the making. It didn't happen all overnight, and all of a sudden, it's been more like pulling on the threads of a sweater and one day discovering that there was no more sweater left." In his 9-slide Instagram post, he spoke about his battle to believe in the Bible and the perfect word of God as transcribed through the divine inspiration of a collection of human individuals struggling to understand all the wickedness and present in the world and why the all-powerful God would idly stand by to let it happen. He was told to seek answers within the biblical texts. "I found, however, that consulting and discussing the Bible didn't answer any of my questions. It only amplified them," stressed Hawk Nelson, frontman. Wow. That's like stuff you never hear, like a Christian rock.
Yeah, because that's, you know.
Like, that's everything. That's what your whole band is all about, right?
No, I guess Creed was Christian rock, and then they went mainstream.
Yes.
But to actually come out and denounce or announce that, you know, "I'm atheist now."
Well, he didn't say that.
He said he didn't believe in God.
Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean...
That's true. You're right.
Okay, that doesn't...
You know, maybe he became Hindu or...
Maybe he's
know.
Just frustrated at the moment with the whole, you know, religion, and maybe that's what it is. But it just...
Maybe he needs some CBD. Maybe he needs to talk to our friends at VSS.
I just, man. But you just never see... I saw that headline.
Like this.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I'm making a formal announcement.
Yeah, so, something tells me all the people that bought those 8 albums, they're not going to be happy with you right now. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of like, that's why he was saying that, you know, the future of the band, it's like, okay, you're the lead singer. Yeah, there might be a problem with that band in the future.
If you're into Christian rock and, this is your favorite band, where do you stand right now?
Striper is another one, right? Isn't Striper also?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually like Striper. I've heard. Striper and Skillet too, right? Skillet is also Christian rock. I like Skillet too. Striper, I like a couple of songs. Skillet, I like a lot. I've even seen Skillet live. They're really good.
Every song you've played for me from Skillet.
Skillet is good,
man. I think
man.
Like 10 or 12 of them right now.
Skillet is good.
I like them all. Yeah.
But I saw that story and I was like, wow, that's ballsy too. It takes guts to say that, you know, it's what you feel and hey, you know, this is.
They're not full-on atheists like Bill Maher, but maybe Bill Maher will let them be an opening act.
Who knows? You know, Big O, as the Dolphins are slowly becoming relevant again in the NFL, their marketing staff is also setting new standards in the sports world. Give it up to Tom Garfinkel. Garfinkel's a beast, dude. If the team was run as good as Garfinkel ran the stadium the last 10 years, they would have been a Super Bowl winner already. Okay? The good thing is that now I believe they've got the front office people to actually do it right. Super Boom Shack says, Striper is great in concert. Never seen Striper. I've seen Skillet, and I love Skillet. Never seen Striper, and I do like Striper. Let's see. Chority says, he doesn't believe in fairy tales anymore. There you go. George Albanese says, sold out to the mainstream. NorCal says, I'm the lead singer of a reggae band, and I don't like weed. DJ Galaga says, what's up, party people? Hope you are dry and safe. Super Boomshack says, he will believe in God sooner or later.
That dry has nothing to do with alcohol. By the way,
Rye says, if you don't believe in God, you are an atheist. There's no way around it. Well, but maybe you have a belief in another God. That's why I'm not sure. Is that true?
Are you looking for a demigod? Is that what you're?
I'm not sure. I just don't want to label somebody an atheist just because they don't believe in God, because I haven't heard the whole story yet. You know, I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not the first time I'm going to be wrong. Let's see. Tommy Italian says, the Heat jumped from non-playoff to legit threats. Nets are improved. Pacers are tough. Yeah, but Kyrie and Durant are not playing in this playoff thing, so the Nets aren't going to be that tough. They still will be a gritty little team, even without those guys. Clee Torres says, Big O, you have taken the torch past you from Neil Rogers. You are South Florida Radio. Thank you. That's high praise I don't deserve, but I appreciate your love, man. Thank you so much. Game Over 954 says, they act like this does the acts like this don't go in cycles. For years, the East was king and the West was trash. I'm fine with no conference in the playoffs, though, but they must play the same schedule league-wide. I just think this is the one year where you can actually pull it off. You know? Oh, and we do have a little super chat action with Mr. De La Cruz. Thank you, Mr. De La Cruz, chiming chat, in with us.
What are you babbling about?
Super chat.
If he
super chat,
we'll all
super chat.
It'll be anarchy. It's out of my hands.
That's right. And we love anarchy here on the show. Anarchy is a beautiful
not
thing.
Not full out, full board anarchy. Just a touch.
Just the kind of touch that happens in the Breakfast Club. That's the kind of anarchy we want. It's the kind of anarchy I was used to in school.
While Andrew Karp is falling all over the magazine holder.
Exactly. Yes. 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 I thought
endangering the lives of children would not be a very wise juncture at this point
you were,
in your
I thought
career.
You were a jock.
Right? I thought you were a letter. I thought you were a varsity letterman.
That's some good stuff there. All right. It is time to wrap it up on the show. Another 3 hours in the house, as always. We love all of you out there, as always, for subscribing, sharing. Share that link, baby. The super chatters out there, Tommy Italian for life, chime in 3 times today. Amazing. Thank you, sir, as always. Jess Minneapolis, Cookie Vice, Ray Grulon, William Fontesalia, Michael Mata, Mr. De La Cruz, all of you chiming in on the Super Chat today. Thank you so much, as always. We thank Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk and NBC Sports. We thank all of you out there for watching, subscribing, sharing the link. Bill and Philippe, as always, audio, video, getting it done.
Somehow, again, you did another 3-hour show, man.
Somehow or another, we did it again, man. Tomorrow will be at Toyota of Hollywood, 1841 North State Road 7. So please come on out and say hi. Keep your distance. Wear your mask. But come on by and say hi. Would love to meet you out there, man. Seems like we're getting more and more listeners every week to show up. And I think now that we're getting out of the pandemic, that's why, because people are getting out now. Come on by and say hi. Friday, we'll be at Craig's Inn, Acura, Pembroke Pines. So we'll be out on the road for the next 2 days, but we'll be on at 11 a.m. You all be safe out there. Much love.
Have a good one until tomorrow. This is the Big O Show.